Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to another hour of Tribal Wisdom. I am your host, Cynthia Williamson from Bridal Tribe, and happy Wedding Wednesday, everyone. So glad to be with you again to have a conversation about all of our favorite subjects, love, beauty, wedding, and marriage fun. Tonight, we are talking with our guest, Miss Alicia Johnson, who is a life coach, a relationship counselor, and more. Let me just say that last month we had a great time talking about getting down to business. We enjoyed our guest speaker so much. And this month it's all about love and passion for the month of February, of course, and why not? Because it is Valentine's month. If you want to join us this month, we have a lot of things going on, especially the third week of this month. We have decided that the third week of every month, we will be taking our show on to Spreecast. So if you'd like to join us live and video, please see us there. See us there. This month, we're going to be talking about the spark, what it is, how to maintain it, how it gets lost and how to reignite it. You know, that thing between two people that makes you smile at one another, want to be in a relationship with one another, want to get to know one another better. We're going to be talking about that. So join us on Spreecast. I will be posting a flyer as well as instructions on how to join us. Probably next week I will post that up. This week I'll make sure to post that up. So we'll be doing that. Tonight's guest, as I said, is relationship and marriage coach, Miss Alicia Johnson. She and her husband have been married almost 30 years. And they've spent 20 years in church leadership, focusing on how to coach individuals and married couples in order to help them maintain and stay together and create lasting, loving relationships. If you would like to call in tonight, our number is 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 if you want to have a question or a comment with our guest or even with myself tonight. Or if you just want to listen in, you could do that too. You don't have to press the number 1. Just sit back and listen. Of course, if you're listening by the internet, we're so glad to have you that way as well. We want to thank everyone for joining us. And if you just give me a moment, of course, I'm going to try to open up the chat room to see if you guys want to join us that way. So give me just 1 second to get that started. And, of course, you're also welcome to join us on Facebook. We have created an event on Facebook where everyone is happy to post questions. If you're feeling a little shy and you don't want to let everyone hear your voice or call in, you can do that as well. This month, of course, is February, so I just want to say happy birthday to all the February individuals. Happy anniversary to all those celebrating their anniversary as well. And you know what? Be sure to call in and let us know about your upcoming nuptials. We love to hear about that. Send us a note to info@bridaltribe.com if you want to share your weddings with us to post on our blog or possibly be featured in the magazine. Please do so. There are so many upcoming events that we have coming or rather going on. And we hope that you will join us. So I'm going to actually place everyone on hold while I fix a little technical difficulty with our studio, with our open live studio. I'm so sorry. Oh, wait. I think that it is fixed. Our guest tonight, again, is Alicia Johnson. So why don't we just go ahead and welcome her in right now.
Hey.
Wow, I'm sorry about that. We were disconnected very briefly, and our guest was disconnected too. I hope she calls us right back. Hold on. Give us a second. Give us a second. Yes, yes. Alicia, are you there? Hello? Alicia?
Hey, Cynthia.
Yeah.
Cynthia.
Yes.
This is Makeisha. How are you?
Hey, Makeisha. I hope you know the audience can hear you, so don't go whispering because you're on now.
Oh. Well, she's trying to get through. I just got the email, the correct phone number sent to her.
Uh-huh.
She's been having trouble with her cell phone, so hopefully she gets the call in. But as soon as she gets on the line, you guys are going to be in for a real treat.
Okay. I thought, like, Makeisha, don't whisper because you're all live.
If you're
listening, you remember Makeisha Dorsey. We spoke with Makeisha last month about PR. She's a wonderful PR agent or publicist or PR agent. What can I say?
I go PR pro.
PR pro, and friend to Bridal Tribe, who always supports and listens to the show, which is why she's on now. And we're just having to wait for Alicia to see if she's gonna come in.
And she should be on. Let me. I'm going to see if I can get her on the line. Give me a second, and I'll call back in if I can. Call back in, or she'll call back in.
This is going to be a fun night. Okay.
Okay, thanks. All right, bye.
Sorry about that, folks. As you can hear, we are having a little technical difficulty with our calls this evening, and we're just waiting for Alicia to give us a call in and join us. So I guess we have a little talk time. Let's go in and find out other things that are going on with the tribe. We're very excited about 2014 because we have so much going on. We have just uploaded one of our issues. The winter issue is going to be uploaded very soon. We hope that you guys will stop by and see that. And to let you know that the Bridal Breakfast holiday episode is actually uploaded to our YouTube channel. So when you get a moment, take a chance and stop over and take a look at it. Let us know what you think. Leave a comment. Send us a comment. Either one, we would love to get feedback on what you think about what we're doing and where the tribe is headed. Of course, join us at our blog and website as well to let us know what you think about that. And, you know, again, I have to apologize for everything that's happening right now. I'm actually going to put you guys on hold and see what's going on. Just give us 1 second. Okay, everybody, so sorry about that. We're going to go ahead and just play a little music for you until our guests show up. We do apologize once again for the technical difficulties. We are trying to fix that right now, but don't go anywhere. We are still going to have a very riveting conversation tonight about all things love and passion, so just bear with us once more. Hold on 1 second. Thank you. my goodness. All right, guys. I'm so sorry to be having all of these issues that we've got going on tonight. My apologies. It kind of looks like we might have to cancel tonight's show and just pick up everything next week with our special guests once again, and of course on Spreecast. So I'm just going to go ahead and close tonight's show out. And say thank you for everyone. Oh, wait. Okay, we've got somebody on. Hold on. Hello?
Hey, lady, it's Makaysha again.
Okay.
I was not going to leave you hanging. I would not do that.
I was going to say, you know what, let's just close out the show and try to go for it next week. But if you're on, I figure we could at least have a conversation about some of the topics that are coming up this month.
Oh, yes. And just so you know, actually one of my clients, Billy Dorsey,
mm-hmm.
He's a Grammy Award-winning producer.
Mm-hmm.
And his next single, Perfect Love, is coming out. And as soon as he walks out of church at Lakewood, he said he's going to call in to talk about love.
Okay.
And relationships. So I was trying to rally up some people to
That's all right. Let's you and I can do this until anybody decides to call in, because of course this month one of the special topics is the spark. We want to actually have a conversation about the spark, that unique kind of feeling, that thing that happens between two people, that kind of draws them to one another and wants to, and helps them to want to know more about each other or stay together and that kind of thing. So let's talk about that before, you know, we're going to do it live on Spreecast the third week of this month.
Yeah.
But I figure we could at least start the conversation about it. Why don't you tell us your definition of what you think that spark is between two people?
You know, I think the spark between two people is that hint of fire. I love watching that show, Naked and Afraid, where they drop two people off in the middle of the nowhere butt naked with some string and a pair of socks. But on that show, you watch them take rocks and they beat the rocks and they put a spark there and they have to keep fanning the flame and they blow on the spark until it ignites in something and until they get a fire. And I think that spark is just the start of the fire in a relationship. And if you've ever had to manage a barbecue grill or a fireplace, it's work. You have to make sure you go get the fuel for the fire. You have mm-hmm. to make sure the fire get enough oxygen. So I think it's that tiny existence in all of us that meets the other person. And, you know, it's something there that can grow, but unless it's cultivated and nourished, it's not going to go anymore. It's going to extinguish itself. So I think that's what the spark is in people, that initial clue that something valuable is there.
I like that, the initial clue that something valuable is there. Now, I have to say, I know nothing about the show that you mentioned, where people are butt naked in socks and hitting rocks. I'm totally ignorant of this show.
Well, I think it comes on Discovery Channel or Animal Planet or something. I love scientific shows, and I love the show Survivor Man. They do it on that show as well where, you know, you're out in the wilderness and you have to start your own fire, and you have to do the work in order to have that fire. So as much as, you know, people talk about being in love, love has to survive. You have to work at it. It's something that you have to fan the flame in order for. You have to give it enough oxygen. You have to give it enough fuel in order for it to work. And when you mentioned the spark in relationships, when we spoke a couple of weeks ago, that's the first thing I thought about, those people being butt naked in the wilderness pretty much and trying to start a fire.
Well, I mean, you kind of know what article is the article that got this conversation started for me, because when I was reading it, I was like, wow, how does that happen where they just decided to go ahead and part ways because they said the spark is not there anymore? And that's what kind of got me to asking the question, you know, what exactly is the spark and how does it, how do you maintain it? How does it just disappear between passionate individuals who just loved each other so much and started a family and got married and all of that other stuff, and now all of a sudden you're leaving because you feel that it's gone. What happens when you – how does it go? that's one of my questions. How does it just go?
I know for my own marriage, I think a lot of the times when we get married, we lose sight of – we lose ourselves in the idea of in being married. I know when I first got married, instead of being the woman who Tradell married, I tried to be his wife, not realizing that if you apply things biblically, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. I was trying to be something I already was. And instead of just being me, I was trying to be a wife when the wife was already in me. So it kind of threw things off in my own marriage. And then you have that element of after you get married, you're trying so hard to be married. And you also have the element of being in love with the idea of marriage. I knew coming into marriage that it would be work. I watched both of my parents, they're married to other people, but I've watched them work at their marriages. I've watched my aunts and uncles work at their marriages. I've watched people like Alicia Watkins Johnson work at her marriage. She's one of the first people to tell you that no marriage is perfect, but if you work at it, you can have a good marriage. And I've seen firsthand her relationship with her husband. And I really believe if you work at it, but a lot of the times work get in the way, children get in the way. Mm-hmm. You know, our baby boy, my husband, we call him CB because he gets in the way of everything. He blocks everything. He wants to be in the thick of things, and he doesn't always realize that, you know, mommy and daddy need time to be with each other from time to time.
Right. Right, so I mean,
and you know what? She's in. She just sent me a message and said that she's on the call.
Okay, I do see a caller. You know what? I'm going to bring her right in, and we're going to continue with this conversation because I really find it very interesting. I'm going to go ahead and Alicia, is that you?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Great.
How are you?
Been listening. I'm so sorry. I tell you. This has been really crazy trying to get into this call tonight.
Well, we are so happy and honored to have you on the call. Thank you so much for calling in and persevering while we work through all of the madness that is this call.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
And you're hearing the conversation that we're having right now. We're talking about the spark.
Absolutely. I've been listening to, I just got in a few minutes ago, and I heard this question that I believe maybe you ask about how can a couple, you know, when they first meet, be so excited and in love, and then, you know, a few months or years later, the spark is left, and all of a sudden, now they want to get a divorce. Was that the topic of conversation a few minutes ago?
Yes, it is the topic, but we're also really trying to break it down a little bit more because, like, based on an article, I read an article about a specific celebrity couple that have been married possibly about 3 years now, and there were some difficulties in the marriage that have to do mostly, I believe, with job loss and, I guess, a little depression, and they were going to counseling, and they were trying to fix everything. They're trying to make it work, but based on what was in the article, he is not doing what the counselor is suggesting. Therefore, there is no longer a spark between them, so they decided to go ahead and part ways and divorce. So that got me to wondering about the spark. She said, the spark is gone. And I'm like, okay, well, wait now. Hold up. It's nice that you're describing something as a spark, but, you know, is there a level of commitment that allows you to kind of help reignite this spark that you once had? Should you be waiting something out? I mean, how does this work when it comes to a committed marriage and this thing called the spark?
Right. Well, unfortunately, that's the way many marriages start. They start with a spark, and that spark is really called infatuation. You know, I really believe that when two people marry, they are really not in love. They are infatuated with each other. They're infatuated with what they have seen. And usually, you know, when you're dating or and you're going together, you put your best foot forward, and you hide a lot of times the ugly stuff. So basically, what you're in love with is the perception of love or being in love. And you say from that, and you make a decision from that, you know, I'm going to get married. But what happens is the minute you say I do, and you start going through the what they call becoming one, because you are not even one at the moment. The moment you get married, you are one in the spirit, but you don't become one until you begin to go through things. And as you begin to go through things, that's the mortar that begins to bring the marriage into oneness. And it takes work to continue to have the spark. Most people think, you know, if you have the goosebumps and you have the excitement when the phone rings, or, you know, the excitement when he touches your skin or you touch his skin, that's going to last. Very seldom does it. That's just a feeling. And feelings go and they come in marriage. There are times in marriage where you don't even like your spouse. You know?
Yep.
That's God's truth. You don't even like them. But the thing about it is you have made a commitment. And you have to have a commitment that's bigger than the both of you. Mm-hmm. Your commitment has to be in God. Mm-hmm. He is the one that has to be the center and focal point of your marriage. If he is not there, then you don't have anything to stand on when the feelings are gone. And most couples don't understand that your actions, your feelings follow your actions. A lot of people are living the opposite way. They feel like their feelings, they should have feelings and then their actions will follow. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not happened. That doesn't happen. It's you act, and then your feelings follow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if my actions are loving to my husband and serving my husband and trying to understand my husband, then my feelings are going to follow my actions.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why after 2 or 3 years or maybe even less, that most couples break up. Because the feeling is gone. They're looking for this euphoric feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's gone, instead of them nurturing and fighting for that feeling to come back, they go and think it's in someone else.
Okay. Now, I want to pull it back a little bit because something that you were saying just a little earlier really puts me in the mind of the word cleaving, that you have to go
yeah.
through something that, you know, that it takes a little time to bond on this, you know, the human plane, because we are bonded together spiritually once we say I do to the preacher. But now here comes the time where we have to begin to cleave to one another. Can we talk about the cleaving process?
Wow.
and the only reason why I want to say this, because again, just listening or rather reading the article, they clearly decided to go to some sort of counseling, and that they were given homework, they were given things to do, but according to what was said, he was not following through on the exercises for whatever reason. And I'm thinking that it sounds to me like the man was possibly depressed, because he lost his job, he was no longer the breadwinner, and you know, probably a whole host of different things that could have put him into a depression. So that whole cleaving process, what are some of the things that can kind of really come up during that time that we have to really live by principles and not by feeling?
Okay. Well, cleaving is just that. It's like a bonding together, like super glue. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And when you bond together with your mate, that means that you're basically forsaking all other relationships, and there's no other relationship other than the relationship that you have with God that is the most important. And that means sometimes, and a lot of times, it means breaking away from family, breaking away from friendships. And I know that's hard, because a lot of times people don't want to do that. They, you know, I've got my friends, you've got your friends, this is my mom and them, and this is my cousins and them, and don't mess with it. But when you're talking about coming into a covenant of marriage, you're talking about there is no greater relationship outside of the relationship with God than that relationship between you and your spouse. And nothing and nobody should come in the way, not even your children.
Mm-hmm.
Your children, it's God, it's your husband, it's your wife, it's your children.
Mm-hmm.
If you're talking about a wife, it is your, I mean, if you're talking about the husband, it's the husband, it's God, it's the husband, it's the wife, your relationship with God himself, it's your wife, and it's your children. Then it comes your job, your career, your ministry, or whatever. And if you've got those out of sync or out of alignment, then you're going to have problems. And that's where a lot of people come in when you're talking about cleaving, because they don't understand that. And they think that they're giving away themselves. And the actuality is in marriage, you do have to give away some of yourself. But what you're doing is, when you're giving it away, you're also finding yourself, because you're finding yourself in the relationship of marriage. What is God, when God puts two people together, he doesn't put two people together just because for love's sake or for sex sake or for companionship's sake. He puts two people together for his sake.
Mm-hmm.
He puts people together for the kingdom. There's a kingdom purpose for your union. And so in order to find that, you're going to have to forsake everything that was. Your mama's house, your father's house, your old relationships that meant so much. All of those have to be put aside so that you can cleave to your spouse, so that you can find your destiny together, because you do have one together. Not that you lose your individuality, because your individuality makes up who you are as one. But you have to find out who you are together, and a lot of couples are not willing to do that.
Now, of course, I believe wholeheartedly in what you're saying, but something else that you just said makes me ask another question, which is, if you are in a union for God's purpose, then what happens with the choosing of your mate. Did you choose the mate who you were supposed to be with in order to fulfill God's purpose for the life that he has for the both of you? Who said that you chose correctly?
Okay. Wow. That's a good question, and a lot of people ask it. I've been married for 31 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to shortchange myself 10 years. I got ready to say 21. No.
You shouldn't. My dad says that after 25 years, you automatically get into heaven, so do not miss your chance.
Absolutely.
It goes straight there.
Oh, God. I did not realize that, you know, when I was praying for a husband, you know, my destiny was chosen for me, just like it is chosen for all of us before the foundation of the world. God already knew who I was, what I was to be, who I was to touch. He already knew that. And because of that, he already knew the mate that he had chosen for me. All of this was before the foundation of the world. Now, do we as human beings have choices? Yes, we do. And as I was, you know, I could remember early on when you know, people were asking me, what did I want to be when I grew up? You know, my answer to them was, I want to be a mommy and a wife. And didn't have any other aspirations besides that. And that's quite unusual, but that was me.
Mm-hmm.
And so at an early age, I started out trying to find my husband. And in trying to find my husband, I got in trouble. Had my first child when I was 17, had my second child when I was 21, and a lot of heartache and pain in between that. So when I got saved when I was 23. And when I got saved in my husband's church, the church that he was a youth pastor in. And we didn't say anything. He didn't say anything to me for 6 months, except for, you know, God bless you, sister, or whatever. And then after 6 months, I got saved in 1982 in January. And then in June, we started dating. He asked me to go out, and we started dating. And in December, we were married. Now, one of the things that I was looking for, I had gone through so many things, and it felt like I had lived a life of, I had lived like three lifetimes before I got saved.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to play any more games, and I wanted who God wanted. So when I saw the fact that my husband loved God and he was willing and loved my children, he made me laugh. He made me smile. He made me feel good. And most of all, he loved God. And I knew that if he loved God, he could love me. And so 6 months later, we were married. And our journey together has evolved. But the most important thing that I was not willing to compromise anymore in my life, if I wasn't willing to compromise with someone who did not love God, that is why I kept getting in trouble in the past looking for men.
Mm-hmm.
They had everything else. They had the nice package. They had everything else, but they didn't have the love for God. And that's where a lot of women fail in their in the pursuit, and really women should not be pursuing. Women should be doing what God has called them to do. And it says, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing, which means when a woman is busy in the work of God and the man is busy doing the work of God, he is going to trip over her.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to find her because she's doing what she's supposed to do and he's doing what he's supposed to do. And that's what happened. When I got saved, I wasn't even thinking about a husband. I was worshiping the Lord. I said, God, I want you to bless me the way you want to bless me.
Mm-hmm.
And there he was, right on the spot. And but I was not going to compromise any longer by trying to find someone or meet someone who did not have the number one value that every relationship needs is the love of God. if a man does not love God, he cannot love you, because God is love.
Right. Okay, so that, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and say that this is geared toward a spiritual individual, or as you say, someone who is saved, who already has that understanding, because we have a lot of individuals who are marrying before they have that type of knowledge of even themselves. You know what I mean? They will go ahead and get married and stick into any kind of marriage because it's just what they did. Before understanding that they, you know, that they really wanted to go forward in a marriage with a man or a woman who was about loving God and also loving themselves. That someone is on the line, because I do have another question, but I'm going to bring someone in, last four digits, 5210, and see if they have a question for us tonight. You are on the air with Tribal Wisdom. Hello.
Hi, this is Pastor Billy Dorsey. How are you doing?
I'm good, Pastor. How are you?
I'm blessed. Just leaving church in Lakewood. I jumped on. I was listening in on the conversation.
Wonderful.
Excited about it. I think you guys are on the pulse of it, you know, when you're talking in terms of marriage. I wanted to ask the question, how do you deal, just to get your perspective, how do you deal when there's a marriage where you've got two people that are believers where they still are having issues, where they still are not able to get on the same page? How do you deal with that?
Okay. My husband and I have been counseling couples for 22 years. And I think the first thing for couples, if they're having a problem, and they're Christians, because we all have problems, I think the first thing to do is to get counsel, to get godly counsel. And once we and to follow godly counsel, That is the thing, seeking godly counsel, not just someone who knows the word, but someone that is living the word. It makes a big difference. Someone that is going to take the word and make it practical for the living. To find out, to get down to the bottom, to be transparent. When my husband and I go before a couple, we lay our lives out before them. There's nothing hidden, and we realize that transparency begets transparency. So as we lay our lives out before them, they realize that we don't have any stones in our hands to throw at them or to judge them. And we've seen the gamut. We've heard the gamut. And once they become very comfortable with the fact that they can share and not judge, then we try to get down to the bottom of what the problem is. We don't dwell. We don't allow them to dwell on, you know, the she said or she did, he did. Let's deal with, you know, your issues. Let's deal with how your actions have affected this marriage. And so we help them to look at themselves, and then we give them good material and give them exercises and homework to do. And as counselors or coaches, that's the prerequisite that we have. If you're not willing to put the work in, we can't put the work in for you. You have to be willing to put the work in. And that's why we give you homework, and that's why we give you, you know, books to read, and then we hold you accountable to that. And once we see that you're willing to put the work in, we're 100%. We're there for you 24 hours a day.
Awesome.
Now, that's great. But I also, I'm never 100% sure that even with all of this work and all of the tools that you can give someone, that it will always work out, because this is kind of what happened with, like I said, with that particular article, where they just decided it's just best to kind of walk away from the marriage. And, of course, this is where the show came from, because I'm like, what is this spark? Why are they saying that once the spark is gone, you know, you have to leave? If someone is not willing to put in the work, or if they're not putting in the work due to, you know, a depression, a chemical imbalance, whatever it is, are there any responsibilities to the spouse who isn't going through something?
Well, you know, I went through about 13 years ago, I went through a mental breakdown of my own.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband, you know, there are things that we go through that our spouses can't do anything about. It's a journey that we have to go through alone. And in the midst of that journey, God is teaching us things as well. And I went through a mental breakdown. I had a very horrendous childhood. And some things started happening in my life that caused me to have to deal with some unresolved issues. And there were times when I would just, I wasn't talking. I would drive. We lived in Atlanta, Georgia at the time, and I would find myself driving to almost Alabama or almost Tennessee and come to myself. And then, you know, my husband would, when I would come back home, my husband would be outside walking the streets waiting for me to come back. And the only thing that he could do was pray and mm-hmm. intercede. He would tell you that not one time did he think about leaving me.
Mm-hmm.
Times were hard. He didn't mm-hmm. understand me. I didn't understand myself.
Mm-hmm.
But yet his commitment to God and mm-hmm. his commitment, his covenant to me mm-hmm. kept him faithful. You know, we as I stated, we've been married 31 years and neither one of us have committed affairs on each other. Not because the opportunity wasn't there, not because our marriage was so great that we couldn't, but there was a greater commitment to God. And my husband, this was a 3.5 year journey for me with having to go to psychiatrists and take medication. And there would be times where I wake up in the middle of the night and my husband would have his hands on my head, interceding for me, speaking in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
I you know, honor him so much, and I love him so much because I know it was his prayers that got me through.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times when my husband was out of job, and, you know, I mean, not for a short period of time, but long period of time, and mm-hmm. I was the sole breadwinner. You know, I could have left. I could have said, you know, I'm doing this all by myself. The load is on me. I'm going to leave you. I could have made that choice. But, again, because of the love of God and my covenant with him, I kept praying that things were going to change, and I kept honoring him and serving him. And I never once, you know, diminished his position as the head of the house. And because of that, our marriage is strong. So there's never an excuse. I believe that God can do all things. God is a God of the impossibility. It's, do you believe him, first of all? Do you believe the word? Do you believe what he's saying? Are you willing to stand and wait on him? Are you willing to fight? It said, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, but the violence taketh by force. Are you willing mm-hmm. to fight?
And if a person realizes that, hopefully these are questions that are asked during a premarital session, because even if it is, if you're under training or if you're in training for marriage, sometimes being able to handle the ups and downs of marriage is not easy. It's not everyone is. I don't think everyone is equipped for it, which is why I think some people walk away because they either just kind of give up. They don't have the strength to do it. They don't have the strength built up. You talked about having tools that help people put their relationship in order to continue to work on their relationships. And this question is for both Pastor Dorsey as well as our other guests on the show tonight. Is what happens when you may not have been equipped beforehand to deal with the things that can happen during a marriage to really test you? Do you go ahead and just walk? I mean, walking away, it becomes an option?
I mean, walking away is always an option. But, you know, it's a when I say it's always an option, it's something that you can choose. you as a married couple have to decide that that's not on the table. I've had the opportunity to talk with married couples that, you know, my wife and I we've been married going on 9 years. We've been together going on 11 years. And we faced pretty much everything that you can face in a marriage, from affairs to selfishness to, you know, to bitterness to all those different things on both sides. Before we came back to Christ, before we rededicated our lives, before we said we're going to tough it out and make it work, we've been through all those things. And what kept us together in those tough years was not wanting to look like a failure to people outside of us that may have felt like we shouldn't have gotten together in the first place. I mean, in the interest of transparency, I've faced a lot of those different instances where most people would say, yeah, I can't deal with this. Mm-hmm. But if you're, you know, a lot of our brokenness came from, in my case, I'd been in a relationship before my wife where I gave everything and ended up with nothing. And my wife, you know, she went through, as you mentioned, a rough childhood. She dealt with abuse. She dealt with, you know, the feeling of, you know, feeling less than and not being good enough for somebody to love. So there was a lot of things that both of us brought in terms of baggage that neither of us was equipped for. So you ask, how do you deal with those things? You have to decide, okay, we know God is the answer. Let's get that right first. Once we get that right, then we surround ourselves with people that are in the faith, that are living a married life that God would honor, that can speak into our lives, that can give us advice that we will be accountable or held accountable to. And, you know, you have to have strong Christian leadership, people that can look at you, that know you, that can say, yeah, you may be wrong there. You may need to fix this, and that you'll listen to and make those changes. I mean, there is very much a process of learning on the fly, but if you want it bad enough, you will do that. Same thing with getting a job that you had no previous training for. If you want to succeed in that job, you'll get the training. You'll go do the extra work to get good at it. It's the same thing with the marriage. It takes work.
Yeah.
Alicia,
yeah.
Your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. My husband and I had no premarital training. We had none. Our pastor, when we got married, when we started having problems, his answer to our problems was the fast, and that was it. And so it was like we had to have a commitment to each other, and we had to have we started. Getting with people that we could be accountable to. We started hanging out with couples that were demonstrating good marriages. There's no perfect marriage, but demonstrating good marriages. We allowed people to come into our lives and to be able to ask us the hard questions. You know, where are you with this? Where are you with that? And my husband has been accountable. He's always been accountable to other men, and that has been very, very important. And it's been a safety net for me. That's another thing as far as women who are looking for a man. If you're looking for a man and he has no brothers around him that he's accountable to, nobody that can ask him a hard question, that's a scary place. I've had those people. My husband has surrounded those people that I could always go to and say, you know, could you talk to Steve about this or that, you know, or let's go and talk to elder or pastor or bishop so and so about our problems. And that has really been helpful to us. And the Holy Ghost. I can't minimize how the Holy Spirit has led us and guided us through his word, how books have helped us, how we would read books together, and he would read a chapter, and I would read a chapter, and then we'd talk about the chapter that we read. And like Pastor said, you know, when you want something bad enough, you're going to do whatever it takes to educate. Make sure you're educated in the word. Make sure you're educated in the skills that it takes to make your marriage work.
Right. I want to interject something. Sister Alicia, she mentioned when a woman gets married, her husband having that safety net. I've heard a lot of women say that they want to be Proverbs 31 women. But if you read Proverbs 31, the Proverbs 31 man, and no one ever talks about it, her husband sat at the gate with the elders.
Yes,
that
ma'am.
That he was actually there learning from people who had some authority, who had some wisdom, who had some business about themselves, were imparting into that man. And if you go further and even look at the story of Ruth and Boaz, he sat with the elders at the gate, because when it came that time for him to discuss with his husband on whether or not he was going to hook up with Ruth, if he was going to take that family place, he did all of that in front of the elders.
That's right.
Out of respect. And if as a woman, if you're doing everything you can do to be a Proverbs 31 woman, it will be very difficult to fulfill that role if you don't allow yourself to be found by a Proverbs 31 man. Stop looking over what the Bible says that man is, because if you're a Proverbs 31 woman, you have to be able to fit with the right kind of man. And if he doesn't have good leadership, if he's not submitting to anyone, he will not make a good mate for you.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is very important. I love that scripture. I really do. And I love it from a different point of view. You know, a lot of women get intimidated by the Proverbs 31 woman. And the Proverbs 31 woman is, she's bad. She really is bad. And the thing about her is this is a woman that is ever evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows, first of all, how to love her husband. The reason why her husband sits at the gate is because, not because of what he does so much, but because mm-hmm. of what she does. This mm-hmm. whole proverb is about this one woman. And mm-hmm. then it says, and her husband sits at the gate with the elder men. Mm-hmm. This man is known and is revered by the elders because of his wife.
Mm-hmm.
This woman is bad. This woman has so much power. I preach a message called The Power of a Woman. We, you know, women, we don't understand what our power is. See, Eve's power was, she manipulated her power of persuasion. Mm-hmm. A woman has a power of persuasion, and we have used it as manipulation. But once a woman understands her power, her husband, you know, we don't have to worry about our husbands being all that God has called them to be if we know who we are and what our positions are. You know, when I study, when God made man and God said, you know, gave him everything he was supposed to do, told him where he was supposed to be, told him what he was supposed to do as a vocation, then he said, it's not good for man to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
He gave him all of that. And then he said, I'm going to make you a helper, a helpmate suitable, an Eza, so that you can accomplish what I've given you. In other words, I've given you all this, but you can't accomplish this alone. I've got to send you an helper. The only other place in the Bible that the same word is used is when Jesus told the disciples that he had to go away because he had to send them a helper. So just like the man is supposed to be Christ to his wife, the woman is to be the Holy Spirit to the man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, when a woman understands her place in the house, and a man understands his place in the house, there is nothing that they can't accomplish in the kingdom of God. God has put them together to accomplish much in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to understand who they are in their place.
Well, I'm so grateful that all of you are talking about the principle of accountability, and not just accountability, but the respect for accountability. That is such a big thing. I don't think that people are talking about that enough, that when you come together that you must be accountable to God before you are accountable to one another. And if more couples were really thinking along that lines, they would watch how they treat one another.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
absolutely. It's a reverence thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I guess we can put that in the box of tools. I think that, to me right now, I'm thinking that's like the number one tool right now to equip people with the understanding of accountability, because when, like you said, when we have no one to answer to, we feel like we could just go ahead and do whatever it is that we want to without consequence, or at least without caring about the consequence, which just it's a domino effect at that point. That's when things really begin to fall apart and nothing starts moving forward in the kingdom. So
yeah,
to me, you guys just taught a whole class. You just taught a whole class, and every bullet point was really, really on point. So let's go ahead and have some closing words about, and whether it be the spark, whether it be about accountability, or whether it just be about what it takes to either reignite, to maintain a lasting, loving relationship with a spouse that has been chosen for you, whether you chose the spouse or whether the spouse has been chosen for you. Let's sum it up. I'll ask three of you to go ahead and sum it up, starting with Pastor Dorsey.
I would say, as it relates to getting the spark back, I'll speak to that.
Mm.
If you both desire it, if you both want the opportunity to reignite that flame in your relationship, it starts with re-becoming friends. It starts with finding the common ground. You know, outside of the spiritual aspect, it starts with going back to what brought you together in the first place. In the instance with my wife and I, there was a mutual attraction, but we just loved being in each other's company. We had to get back to that. And, you know, if it's something that you want, it can be reclaimed again. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will find it again.
Makaysha?
I know for me, as far as finding that spark, it had to do a lot with knowing my role and actually taking the time to really understand what he needed. So many times we get so caught up into what we need until we fail to realize what our mates need. My husband, I believe that when a man finds a wife, he finds someone who is uniquely qualified to meet his needs for the rest of his life. And if that's what a wife is, I have to be able to grow, adapt, and change to meet those needs so that we can have a happy home. So it's just the decision to be what your mate needs you to be at a particular time.
Alicia.
I have to say one word, and that's vision. The Word of God says, without vision, a people perish. And I believe that that is the culmination of what marriage is, its vision. And if a couple starts off with a vision, and the vision is to accomplish something in the kingdom of God, they're going to meet that goal, because everything is going to be, they're going to size up everything by the vision that God gives them. They're going to move people out of the way. They're going to not take turns or not go in the wrong direction if they have vision. They're not going to allow people to come in and interfere if they have vision. They are going to stay on the course if they have vision. And I believe that that is one of the things that has kept my husband and I on this course, is vision and accountability.
Excellent. Excellent. I, like I said, tonight's show is more of a class for all of my listeners. If you're listening in and we touched on anything that you are going through or wanted to know about, please do let us know. I want to thank my guest, Pastor Dorsey, Makaysha Dorsey, as well as Alicia Johnson, for being on the show tonight, talking about the spark and talking about the tools to help maintain a loving and lasting relationship between married couples or just couples in general, that the Holy Spirit is really needed, and the respect and accountability for God is really needed in order to make relationships work. We touched on the process of cleaving. We touched on, as my guest said, cleaving, meeting your spouse's needs, and so on and so on. And I'm just so grateful for everything that was said tonight. If you're joining us, you know that this is Tribal Wisdom. I'm your host, Cynthia Williamson from Bridal Tribe. We are a company about love, beauty, wedding, and marriage fun. We hope that you enjoyed what you heard tonight. And let us know what you think. And we'll see you next week for our guest, Miss Grossinger. And Wow. I'm affected. I have so much to think about now. So we hope to see you next week. We love you. Talk to you then. Bye.